Hello and welcome to the first Inside Education of 2016 on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Every week, Inside Education brings you the best from the world of education from an Irish perspective. My name is Sean Delaney and you can find links to all previous Inside Education podcasts on seandelaney.com/podcasts. At this time of the year, students who will leave school this year begin to think about options that are available to them. Some of them will go to college, some will do post-leaving cert courses, and others will embark on apprenticeships. In order to help guide students through the options available, I am joined by Brian Mooney, who is a guidance counsellor in Oatlands College in Dublin, and who is president of the Institute of Guidance Counsellors between 2001 and 2006. He is also a columnist with the Irish Times, editor of the Education Matters yearbook for 2015-2016, and author of the book Start Your Career Journey Here, which was published by EDCO. When I met up with Brian, I first asked him what school leavers this year need to do to get started on their career journeys.
Well, I think the first thing that every Leaving Cert student needs to know is that as they move out of school, whether it's to college, whether it's to a PLC course, whether it's to an apprenticeship, whether it's to a gap year, whether it's to employment, that you are not in your Leaving Cert year deciding what you're going to do for the rest of your life. That is what you are not doing. If any of us who are adults look back on our life and think that the decision that we took at 18 has completely framed everything we've done since, we would all laugh because we realise that effectively so many other things intervened as we went along that shaped our lives, changed the direction of our lives, etc. That what I am saying to every Leaving Cert student, leaving the education system, the second level education system in June, is the most important thing is to make the next appropriate step for yourself that's right for you in the context of everything that's happened in your life to date. Builds on that, consolidates it, puts you in a place where you will do something next year that is in tune with all of that and helps you to move forward. And that you will do the same thing the following year and the year after and the year after. For instance, if you go to college and you pick an area of study, you would probably find that in the first year it's very general. And then you get choices at the end of first year. And then you get choice at the end of second year. And if you make those choices as you go along, then you find yourself graduating. You look at the labour market. You look at how you have become a 21 or 22 year old over the previous 3 or 4 years. And the choice as to maybe the postgrad option for you prior to employment will seem relatively straightforward at that point in time. But not now. You're not going to be able to fast forward your own personal growth and development over 4 or 5 years. And then once you start into employment, you may find yourself drawn to particular aspects of the business you're in because you're really enjoying one aspect of your work, and that may take you somewhere completely different. And when you get to my age, where you're nearly 62 years of age and you have a whole lifetime of work behind you, it's no easier. You're still sitting going, okay, where am I now? What are the things I'm enjoying now? What are the challenges? The world is changing around me at a pace that is just incredible. Where is that opening up new opportunities for me to feel that buzz, that energy that I've felt all my life in everything I've done? And that'll happen, hopefully, please God, for the next 5, 10, 15 or 20 years. And I would hope to be still active in my mind and doing things that challenge me way into my 80s and God help us 90s. And if you're 18 and you're looking forward, all I would say to you is your job now is to get the next step right. Nothing beyond that. Get the next step, because if you start thinking long term, you're probably going to get the next step wrong. So get the next step right.
And how do you do that? How do you know that you're going to take the right step? Because although what you're saying is absolutely true, at the same time, if you go into a third level course, for example, and you find maybe after 2 or 3 years, oh, this is not exactly what I thought it was going to be, and it's not exactly what I needed, then, you know, people might say, well, I've lost a few years.
Well, okay, here's the thing. When I was president of the Institute of Guidance Counsellors in 2001 and 2006, I saw that the most important thing was that people would have access to quality information at the touch of a button, because in those days we were just getting the internet, you know, coming into its own. So I developed the Qualifex website. And the Qualifex website www.qualifax.ie is now today the database of every single course in the entire country, searchable by keywords at a moment's notice. So effectively, you can go into Qualifax, you can look at the areas that you're interested in, and I give you one word of advice: read the damn course content. How many people arrive in September to their third or fourth choice on their CO list of a course they listed by title without looking at the course content, without looking at where the course was taking you, what the career opportunities were out of it, and effectively finding that their interest was running into the sand? There's a really good article in the Education Matters yearbook this year by Professor Moore in UCD, in which he looks at 4,000 people who dropped out of college and then analyse why they dropped out. And in over half the cases, it was they picked the wrong course. Now, all the information is there. I developed Qualifax so that it would be there in an internet facility where you can do it on any PC from your home bedroom or from your school. And it's laziness on people's parts. They may research their first choice and then just throw down five or six, you know, similar looking titles, then end up dropping out. So I would say to you, your research through Qualifax. Also, I would say both to parents and to students, the world of work is changing at an amazing pace. And if you are at home advising your son or daughter based on your perception of the labour market, based on when you last changed your job, you are whistling in the wind, being polite, because effectively the labour market is changing at a pace where 50% of the jobs that are there today won't exist in 5 years' time, and 50% of the jobs that will be there in 5 years' time haven't been invented yet. There is a website called Careers Portal. It has all of the major industry players with video clips from people working in those industries saying what my job is like, how I got into it, the skills I'm using, the salary scales that I'm receiving, the promotional opportunities that are available to me. The reason industry is funding that and the reason they are putting that information out there for you is that they want people to know what is available. They want to attract the brightest and the best into their jobs and roles. And they want people in school to see that if you're good in this particular area or you feel competent in this particular area, that you will know that there is a pathway from your Leaving Cert through to employment in that particular role in Intel or Google or wherever it happens to be. And will you go and look at the information? For the course information, go to Qualifax. For the information in relation to careers opportunities, go to Careers Portal. Put the two of them together with yourself. And yourself is your exam results, your hobbies, your interests, the subjects that you enjoy in school. And ask yourself one simple question. What is going to get me out of bed on a dirty January cold morning when nobody cares really at a college level whether I'm there or not? No lecturer is going to take a role. Nobody's going to know whether you got up or didn't. And at the end of the day, whether you get your exams will depend upon your motivation and energy in going to lectures because you want to be there, going to the library because you want to study that subject, going to your tutorials with your essays done because you have an energy for that. That's the question you need to ask yourself. And until you get an answer to that, do not commit to something, because if you're only going in half-heartedly, you are going to end up sliding away as one of those 4,000 students I referred to in Professor Moore's report, that effectively you won't be able to find that energy. Because right now in school, if you don't turn up, the teacher rings your parents and you get into trouble. That won't happen in college. And if you're depending on that level of somebody behind you giving you a push, it's not going to be there. So don't pick something that you're not completely committed to yourself.
Although if you go just for what you're interested in 3 or 4 years' time, it may have you unemployable, or it may have no obvious employment option for you.
I was talking to one of the most senior people in the City of London who happens to actually live here in Dublin and commutes home at the weekend. And he told me recently that the two most successful traders in the City of London at the moment, making the highest income of several million every year, both of them, by chance, happen to have a first in divinity from Oxford. Now, if you think about that for a minute, the relationship between a first in divinity from Oxford and trading in the City of London may not seem terribly clear. But the issue there is they got firsts from Oxford. The fact that they're, the subject of interest at the university was divinity, and the fact that they are now applying the skills they learned at university in the city, I think tells you the answer to the question you asked me. It really doesn't matter what you're studying to a large extent. Okay, if we're talking dentistry, it certainly does. If we're talking architecture, or if you're talking medicine, it certainly does. If you're talking about an arts degree, a business degree, a science degree, a law degree, a social science degree, or even an engineering degree to a certain extent, it really doesn't matter, because effectively what you're getting is self-management skills and a generic set of skills through your undergraduate studies, which helps you to self-manage that process of going to college, getting to your lectures, going to your tutorials, falling in love, falling out of love, getting a summer job, going and getting your J1, at the same time as managing everything else, being involved in your clubs and societies, while at the same time keeping your head clear and going to your lectures when you need to go to your lectures. If you can manage that, you can manage the vast majority of jobs that are not technically based. And what employers are looking for is people who've managed that process and managed to excel. So your first in divinity is a really good guy, because he's got a first. Your first in anything, anyone who got a first in anything from a university, is going to be an attractive option to any employer, because that person was probably also massively involved in his club, society, sport, etc. It's about skills development rather than the actual content of the course.
So it is okay to follow your heart?
It's absolutely okay to follow your heart, because that's what's going to motivate you. If you're going to get a first in something that's following your heart, as opposed to passing a degree that strategically you thought was the right option. Let me give you an example of this. You know, I was blue in the face for the last number of years and saying to people, you know, who were avoiding going into courses in areas, for instance, like surveying or construction management or all of these areas, they died in 2009. No, you couldn't, for love nor money, get people to take these courses. The number of applicants in the entire country for all of those courses put together were less than 200. I mean, you just literally could not get people to go into them, because people said there are no jobs there. And my answer to that is, so what? Because the people who were in those jobs in 2009, the cranes disappeared, and those people disappeared too. Now, I went for 3 years out to the WISE conference in Qatar, over 3 years, and I was out in Abu Dhabi there earlier in the springtime at New York University Abu Dhabi, which is a fascinating place which we won't talk about here. But one of the things that struck me most was the number of Irish people out there in the construction business. Where are our construction managers, our surveyors, our architects? They're in the sunshine in Abu Dhabi, in Dubai, in Qatar. In Qatar, they're building stadiums and motorways, etc. They're earning fabulous money, tax-free. They just don't happen to be in Dublin for the last number of years. There's no work for them. But they weren't unemployed. By any means, they weren't unemployed. But we now have a scenario where we're getting to a point where our construction industry is beginning to recover. And the people, the handful of people who went into these professions as students when there was no jobs, are now graduating, and their salary scales are rocketing, because effectively there is less than 50% people for the jobs that are there. And the people who would have been absolutely skilled in these areas, whose aptitude test results showed them to be having very good spatial reasoning skills, avoided doing these courses because they thought there was no jobs. They're probably stuck in something else where they're miserable. And now we have the worst of both worlds, where effectively the economy is going to be acutely short of people in those skills areas. And there are people who have those skills innately who never studied these areas. So I would say to your listener, it really doesn't matter what the stage of the economic cycle is when you actually go to college, whether the sector you're in is booming or is in the doldrums, because over a lifetime of work of 40 or 50 years, you're going to go through 6 or 7 cycles when industries are going to boom in one part of the world and be down in another part of the world. It really doesn't matter. And yet, every single year you find that the actual pattern of applications is being driven by the economic reality of jobs in that particular year. It is so short-term thinking. And yet, at the same time, people do it all the time.
In your book, Brian, Start Your Career Journey Here, you bring students through the year and what they need to do throughout the year.
Yes.
I wonder, could you give us some ideas? Like, it's January now. What kind of things should they be doing in January and at other times of the year?
Okay. In January, by the 20th of the month, you should apply to the CAO and get a CAO number for €25. If you leave it after the 20th, it's going to cost you 40 euros. Why do you want to give the CEO 15 euros they don't need or don't want? They have more than enough cash reserves built up to cover all of their expenses. And yet people, thousands of people do it every single year. All you need to put in, and, you know, it's really complex information. Your name, you know, your mobile telephone number, your email address, you know, and a credit card for 25 euros. And you have a number. That's it. You have a number. You're in the CEO system. If you're interested in a course that has portfolio requirements, it can be HPAT for medicine, it can be art courses, music courses, or whatever, you have to get your application in by the 1st of February, because those applications have interviews and aptitude tests which the colleges will come inviting you to. So make sure that if you're interested in those areas, you have your courses listed by the 1st of February. For any other student, I would say you need to list courses by the 1st of February. Are they the courses you're finally going to settle on? It really doesn't matter. And the colleges may not like me saying this, but it really doesn't matter. Because in May and June, you can change the entire list. The only thing you can't do in May and June is introduce these restricted courses where interviews and aptitude tests are part of the process. If you are looking at applying under here or there, we're talking about disability or economic disadvantage. By the 1st of March, you have to have ticked on your CO application that you are intending to apply, and you must complete the online application bit. And by the 1st of April, you must get any reports, paper reports, we're talking about physical paper here now, to the CO offices in Galway for your application. If you don't meet those deadlines, you will not be considered for here or there, and you will not get the points reduction concession that goes with that. So that's the CAO. Basically, that's the system. So I always advise young people, put down in January what you think is best for you. When you finish your exam, and this year it's quite late because the Leaving Cert doesn't finish till the 24th of June this year, because the exams don't start till the 8th. So effectively, you only have a 3 or 4 day window at the end of June. And that's the time I find when you're really, your mind is clear. Your exams are over, your books are gone. College is only 6 or 7 weeks away. You can review what you did in January. And again, the universities and the Institutes of Technology at that time are running open days. They will talk to any student. You go in, you can visit them. So get it done in January, leave it there, and come back in May and June, particularly after you finish your exams. That's a bit of advice. If you are looking at, obviously, looking at options outside of Ireland, the 15th of January is the deadline for UCAS in the UK, but the fees there in England are 9,000 sterling. Scotland is still free, but it's a freak, I know, of the education system by virtue of the fact that you had a government in Scotland that didn't want to charge fees. And Irish students can go to Scotland for free. Northern Ireland, about 4,000 euros. Wales, about the same thing. The continental option is a phenomenal opportunity. It's growing exponentially for Irish students. About 1,000 courses taught through English. You're treated the same as a domestic student. Holland has about 50% of the courses taught through English. Fees of a little under 2,000. You can get your grants. You can get loans from the Dutch government. Germany and Scandinavian countries, completely free. In fact, they'd even pay you in Denmark to go to university there. Other European countries, much smaller fees than in Ireland. Again, you have to ask yourself the question. It's easy to get in. Much easier than in Ireland, because they actually have a shorter population, but you really have to work very, very hard. Number of Irish students growing every single year. Go onto the UNICAS website. The closing dates are different for each university, so, you know, there is a support structure there within UNICAS. Use it, and again, you can use it alongside your CO. If you're not looking at college, and every year...
So before you go on, the UNICAS website, Brian, is that for all universities across Europe?
It's for all universities with degrees taught through English.
Okay.
There's about 1,000 of them now. And effectively, they have a charge. You can register with them. I think it's for 28 euros. And they will help you with multiple applications to different universities. And they'll tell you what you need for various universities. I spoke to a representative from the University of Groningen there a couple of weeks ago. They had no Irish students there 3 years ago. They now have 72 Irish students. So it's growing. Maastricht University teaches everything through English now. Many of the Dutch universities are going completely English, because on the continent, most young people speak English. And therefore, you know, we have a huge deficiency in foreign language learning here in Ireland. But in the continent, most students have 3 or 4 languages, and English is always one of them. So European universities have brought out programs taught through English because it's a brilliant marketing tool, because effectively it opens up their market to the entire European Union, effectively, and that's why they're doing it. What I was going to say then was, let's look at the, maybe last year, about 55,000 students did the Leaving Cert, maybe 42 applied to the CO. So there's 13,000 students there who aren't applying. Those people may be interested in doing a post-Leaving Cert course for the purposes of going directly into employment, areas like hairdressing, areas like beauty, areas, you know, like childcare, etc. There's lots of opportunities there. There are also links from PLC courses back into the CAO. So you can do, if you're very good in one subject in school, or one or two subjects, but you're not a good general student, and you're not going to get the points for college, if you do a PLC in the area of your interest, you can actually go through a link scheme directly into the degree course that you want to do in university on the basis of your PLC. Let me give you an example. If you want to do science in UCD or in Trinity, you will need more than 500 CAO points under the current system. If you're not a good general student, but you're very good in science, you can do a one-year PLC in science, and there are 40 to 50 places allocated by the university to PLC students into the science degree. They can't fill them every year. There aren't enough people coming through the PLC route to fill those quotas. So effectively, look at your PLC options alongside your CAO options. And you probably look at those in February and March. Obviously, then you have the mocks coming up in February, so effectively get stuck into your exams. Then you've got your orals in mid-April this year, and obviously you're into your Leaving Cert in May. And then, as I say, at the end of June, revisit your CAO applications. And that's kind of a quick run through what students should be looking at from January onwards.
Is there a central website or location where you can get information on the PLC, the post-Leaving Cert courses?
Again, Qualifax. When I built Qualifax, I built it for everything from literacy to postgraduate options. So on the left-hand side of the screen, when you go into as a student, you'll get the option of selecting courses. And once you select courses, you'll have an option of doing all courses, which would be every one of the 18,000. Courses offered through the CAO, PLC courses, postgraduate courses, evening courses, part-time courses, courses offered in the morning time for mammies who may have children that are tying them down, but they can put them in a creche in the morning. Any combination, they're all there on Qualifax. So you can look at PLCs in your own local district. You can look at them under, you know, anything to do with science or with childcare or whatever, and it'll immediately give you a list of those courses that are available. So go to Qualifax where you'll find that list.
Okay. And you work as one of your hats is as a guidance counsellor. And what kind of questions do students come to you with during their Leaving Cert year in particular?
I don't know what I want to do for the rest of my life. To which I reply, neither do I, but I'm figuring it out as I'm going along. Or in a sense, they sometimes come with questions quietly, you know, relating to the funding issues. You know, I can't afford, questions around the HEAR scheme or the DARE scheme. Sometimes they come with very, very technical questions. And in truth, that's why I developed Qualifax, because effectively I can just turn to my screen. I can say, okay, here's your question. Let's go in. Let's look at it. The information is always at hand. Obviously, stress can be a factor with some students as they begin to build up. They begin to become very anxious. The conscientious ones. And they're probably the ones that need to worry least, because effectively they're doing the work. It's the one who doesn't give a breeze and thinks that everything's going fine and maybe not working that really needs to come and see me and doesn't. And obviously my role as a counsellor and therapeutically comes into play then, and you help students with maybe, you know, simple exercises like breathing exercises, or, you know, kind of exercises that help them kind of calm or maybe bring a more balance to their life, maybe a little bit more physical energy and exercise to kind of help the stress levels come down. And I would do a bit of work around that with students. Yeah.
And for a student who genuinely, you know, doesn't know what they want, and I know you said just to think one step at a time, but they genuinely, they're not even sure of that first step. Is there any, say, questionnaires they can complete?
Oh,
any,
absolutely.
What kind of things can they do?
Well, first of all, many students have done aptitudes and interest tests. I mean, you know, I use aptitude tests from a company called Cambridge Occupation Analysts, who are really, really good. And they give you a really clear profile of where your interests are and where they match with your aptitudes. COA.co.uk is the company. Also, on the careers portal website, you can actually go in at no cost whatsoever and do an interest inventory and a personality test online and you get the results there in front of you. It tells you whether you're a social person or whether you're interested in an administrative role, outdoors, entrepreneurial, whatever. And it actually gives you a profile of the careers that relate to that and the courses that relate to that. So there's loads of instruments out there that can actually help you do that research. But there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that says that at 18 years of age that you have to be ready to make that academic commitment to a course. If you're not clear in your head, then I would suggest let's look at an area that you might be interested in that will add a skill or a talent to you and do a PLC in it for a year. Or take a gap year. Go and work for the year. Go and find yourself volunteering or whatever. Find something that you will be able for that year to just help you reflect upon where you might want to go. Because what you don't want to do is, I'm applying to UCD because all my friends are going there and I really don't care what I do as long as I'm with my friends. And you find that your friends go on and develop other friends and you stand in the corridor after a couple of weeks in a degree you're not really interested in and find I'm in a completely wrong place. You drop out, and here's the thing. If you drop out after the date by which the college has notified the HEA of your existence, then if you come back the following year for another degree, you'll pay the 3,000 registration charge again, along with 3,000 or 4,000 on top of it, because the HEA won't pay for you a second time. They won't pay for your first half of first year, or if you get beyond Christmas, for your entire first year. So before you could start again, you've got to divvy up about 10 grand, or your parents have to. So picking a course choice is not a cheap option. So I would say, if you're not clear in your head, there is no rule that says you have to go to college the year that you start. Far better to stand back, do something different, and go to college when you find what you want to do.
Ryan, your book is called Start Your Career Journey Here. Where is it available?
It's part of the RevisWise series. You can go on in any of the school bookshops, you can get it. It's under 10 euros, which I think is really good value. Or you can go to the Education Company Edco website and you can order it online.
And I also see revisewise.ie.
Yes, revisewise.ie will also bring you into that website.
And links to all websites mentioned this week by Brian will be available from the programme's website, insideed.com. Thanks to my guest this week, Brian Mooney of Oatlands College and the Irish Times. Remember, you can listen to or download podcasts of previous Inside Education programmes on insideed.com. You can write to me with suggestions by emailing insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. That's it for this week's Inside Education. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.